Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is October 19th, and I think I just deleted the audio to this episode. So, have no fear. Danny's back this week. We've got an interview this week, but all the other taping, basically what happened, we were hanging out at Let It Fly, and that's our interview this week. We have Ben Walnick. He's the founder, one of the co-founders of Let It Fly Media. So we're hanging out over there. They're nice enough to let us use their studio to record the rest of our episode. We did that, and they've got some fancy equipment, a little too fancy for Kevin. And I think I might have deleted all of the audio of the rest of the episode. So our openings and closings, we had a Ted Lasso review, we had personal pine tars, we had mixed plates. It was probably the greatest episode we've ever recorded. And then due to time constraints, I think I deleted it. We don't have time to record it. The guys at Let It Fly are going to try to save it tomorrow morning. So like October 19th, that morning of, they're going to try to save it for us. And if they do, we will upload it and let you know. So stay tight, stay tuned on social media. If they don't, then this is the episode. It's a really fun interview with Ben, who, like I said, is the founder of Let It Fly. We've been on his podcast before and played some of that on here. That's The Bracketologist. So a really fun interview, a great one you should stick around for, but apologies if we don't get the Chiefs talk and the normal stuff. I know we said we'd have it. We'll be back on track next week. I guarantee it. We'll be back on track next week with hopefully some really good news, too, about the podcast. So, all right, today we are joined by our friend Ben Walnick of Let It Fly Media. He's one of the co-founders. Ben, we're here, new studio. How exciting is that to kind of be moved in a little bit to the new building? What was priority, podcast studio or golf simulator? Which is more finished now?
A golf simulator, 100%.
Okay, so that was priority number one.
Yes.
Then we moved to podcast studio.
I think golf simulator was in before there was a single piece of furniture in here. That's just the way the timing worked out. It's definitely not our actual first priority, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah. The for some reason, the golf simulator and all that just arrived before the chairs and desks and everything else.
Yeah, and we definitely use it as an excuse as far as like, hey, we've got partners in sports and in the golf industry, so it makes sense to have a golf simulator. But I mean, really, like, we just kind of wanted to have a golf simulator.
Who are you making that excuse to? Your shareholders or
myself?
Yourself.
Okay. Yes. I didn't know if it was like tax purposes. Like, we have to have this. It's a business write-off because we have the golf clients. So that works.
I mean,
too.
That too. If the auditors are out there listening,
they are. They
we
might
have,
be.
We have extensive golf clients in multiple industries. Yes.
Yeah. So here on the plaza in the new place for you guys, what's it been like moving in? You guys upgraded on space a ton. You guys are growing as a company right now.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew and I founded the company back in the middle of 2017. We both got married in 2018. I moved to Kansas City in 2018. It didn't really feel like the company started until late 2018 once all of that was behind us. Hired our first employee summer of 2019, and now we're on 17 going on 18. And we just moved to the new space, upgraded not only in how nice the space is, but also definitely needed more space. Now we can stretch our legs a little bit, and all the furniture's not here yet, hoping that's in the next few weeks, but we've been in the building for a little over a week and it's been awesome so far.
The Let It Fly Media pitch, elevator pitch, I've heard it a dozen times, so I could give it to you. How about this? I give the Let It Fly Media pitch,
okay,
and then you tell me what I'm missing. Okay. Let It Fly Media is a full-service video and marketing agency that can create video content, turn it around quickly with a small amount of labor being used, and create the highest quality content in a quick amount of time for the needs of our clients.
I'd love to say that was good, but there's a lot we can work on.
Okay.
Overall is pretty good. I would say there is a lot of labor that goes into it.
Okay. But one of your guys' pitches is that
our clients don't need to put too much work into it because there doesn't need to be a lot of hand holding.
Okay.
We've done this unique strategy of matching up people that have worked in journalism that are great storytellers and can find the story. Mm-hmm. And these creatives that are young and have worked in the sports industry that work really quickly and can make anything look as cool as a Patrick Mahomes hype video. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite that cool, but pretty close. It's marrying those two with a crew as small as only two people. And because we have that journalism background to where we can just learn a little bit about a client, we can go to a shoot without too much storyboarding, without too much planning and scripting, and find the authentic story and turn that around fast because of the broadcast background. You know, Andrew and I's roots, turning multiple stories in a day for broadcast. Now, we put a little bit more behind it on these, but instead of waiting, you know, 6 weeks, you're only waiting maybe, you know, 5 to 10 days for mm-hmm. that first video. And the quality doesn't suffer. We're really proud of the stuff that we do.
Yeah, okay. So what I meant by labor was that fact. Like, obviously, I know these guys are working their tails off, but I feel like one of your guys' pitches is we can show up with just a few guys and get a lot done, and therefore we can be swift, we can be nimble with the people we bring, and then the content that you, the client, receive in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and it comes across in the most authentic way when you do it that way too. You know, you're not coming up with a script. It's really, let's have a conversation. Let's talk for 25 minutes about your business or, mm-hmm. or your aspect of the business you work in. And then you get the authentic answers. We come back, we put it together in the best way that's going to represent the brand the best way. And everyone has a different goal for what they want out of content. We have companies that just want to use us because they're having trouble recruiting good talent. So we need to create content that's going to help recruit.
Is that like a hot topic right now? Having trouble finding talent?
I don't know.
I haven't heard much about that in the news. Yeah.
What we love is it's really problem solving, which is what excites me about it is, you know, we get into it and we sit down with someone and we're like, what are your pain points? What can we help you with? You know, mm-hmm. we're not just about creating something cool. It's always great when it looks awesome, but it's like, what's actually going to bring a return on your investment? I don't mm-hmm. want you just spending money to work with us and then you don't know what to do with that content. We want it to actually serve a purpose to where you guys want to keep coming back to us because it's working.
Mm-hmm. Who was your first client?
Oh, wow. Our first client was, I went and filmed in the panhandle of Texas with a drone, not a drone company.
Not a drone company.
And took pictures of oil rigs and like fracking because this company wanted like artwork for their offices and to show their investors like the work they've been doing out in the panhandle of Texas.
I didn't realize you guys were making political statements here at Let It Fly Media.
The second client was in the golf industry. And that was just kind of doing a highlight for a course down in Oklahoma that was a private club. And that's kind of where we got our start. You know, and our first idea was marketing and golf was way behind the times. Matching up the aerial photography and video with the storytelling on the ground and kind of telling why is this club better than the club down the street if you're trying to recruit someone to uh-huh. play your course. And then that kind of blossomed into eventually a relationship with the largest golf industry company that there is, the PGA of America. So
did you ever think that like, okay, were you ever worried that it would be just a drone photography company? Because I had that idea too. I remember I bought the domain like kcdronephotography.com at one point. And I was like, man, golf courses need this. I'd never owned a drone or operated one, but I thought they were pretty tight. Golf courses, weddings, like all kinds of different things you can do with this. When you started it, your first two projects are kind of that. When did you know that, okay, this, you probably always wanted it to be more, but when did you know that it could be more than just like a drone photography company, and it could be this full service agency that produces all kinds of high quality content, including storytelling?
So I think it's kind of two parts answer to that. I think one, it was immediate that we knew we didn't want to just be drone. We saw that there were so many people that are trying to do drone flyovers for golf courses. Mm-hmm. It was just drone. It was like, how can we be unique? Well, that's when we bring in, you know, the journalist side. Andrew and I both met working in television. He was a sports anchor. I was actually the weather guy, but we both were also reporters and storytellers as well and went to school for that. So that was always going to be an aspect of it. One of our very next clients was a tornado shelter company in Oklahoma where we only had maybe 5% of those videos was drone. And it was really telling the stories of what made their shelters effective and then testimonials from people on the ground. I think the thing that really flipped things for us was we got a large contract with a golf management company because they saw work that we did for a public pool in Tulsa where we did a highlight to help sell memberships for their pool.
Big and, money in public pools. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that's a thriving industry.
We did that job for $400. We did the tornado shelter job, I think, for an average of $250 per video, including the filming and the editing. And I think hearing from a large golf management company, we get contacted by people all the time that want to help in the golf industry. But we saw you guys do more than that with the amenities and doing the pool, and it wasn't just drone. And you actually told a story of why people should join that pool membership. We wanted to do that for all of our clubs. And when we got that contract, it was like, okay, now I think this is going to be something. And that was before we hired anyone. That was just Andrew and I. We're like, this is something that we can actually do for a long time.
Yeah. And so going from weatherman to now this new industry, were you nervous that you might have to be right more than like 20-30% of the time? Mm. Was that like a fear you had, like, oh man, I'm actually going to have to be right in what I do?
Mm. Well,
that has to be tough.
I always told people I had the best job in the world because I could be right 10% of the time and get a raise. Like, that's good.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was actually a pretty good meteorologist. I feel like I had a pretty good accuracy rate, and I just need to increase that batting average a little bit when we got into the marketing world. But I mean, I feel like we have a lot of happy customers and haven't had too many complaints yet. So I think I'm definitely better at coming up with what should be the brand message for a company than I am at predicting how much snowfall we're going to get.
Mm, okay. You mentioned this a couple times, but PGA of America being one of your clients.
Not PGA Tour, PGA of America.
That's what I said, yeah.
But people get it confused all the time.
Okay, PGA of America. What's that week like? Because you guys shoot and you're down there at the PGA of America.
Which week? The PGA Championship?
PGA of America. Is that redundant?
What?
Is PGA of America?
Professional Golfers Association of America.
I thought the A was America for half a second. So the PGA Championship.
Yes.
PGA of America Championship. The major. You guys are down there all week. What does that week look like? And what actual videos are you guys producing that then me and other people watching probably have seen this content that you've put together?
So it has changed drastically just in the last year. So when we went to Harding Park for the PGA Championship, that was in August of 2020, we were only on the ground working for the broadcast team. So the only work we were doing, I say only, it was still a lot. We were creating pieces that were running on CBS and ESPN that had to do about PGA coaching. So the PGA Coach of the Year was Mark Blackburn. He was working with Ches Reavy, and we did a 2-minute story that Scott Van Pelt pitched to on ESPN on SportsCenter during the first round.
Okay.
So we pre-produced that. We filmed all of it on like Tuesday morning that week, produced it all on Wednesday. It aired on Thursday. And then during the actual championship, we were getting footage that will then run in the PGA Championship highlight show on CBS that I think airs almost a year later, like before, or maybe it's in December, something like that. But it was all for their broadcast. This year, we got hooked up with, first, their partnerships team, and so we were doing work with their Cadillac campaign with Colin Morikawa. That was leading up to the PGA Championship. And then week of, we did several pieces that ran on CBS and ESPN, including two different coaching, one with Colin Morikawa and one with Max Homa, that both ran on broadcast on Thursday and Friday. But then we also were producing pretty much every single video piece of content that went out on all of the PGA Championship and PGA of America digital feed for that week. So it was like Phil social. Mickelson back nine highlights with music, go. Like we were producing that.
The
we
shot had a crew. Out of the bunker, I think you guys got too.
Don't even mention that.
Don't.
That's the one shot we didn't get.
Oh,
so we planned.
I knew that. I just wanted to come twist a knife. Yeah, because I had the insider information on that.
It was me too. I planned that entire day. We had a crew of like six people rotating around the course.
Yeah.
Hole five was the farthest point on the golf course. It had been playing as a really long, tough par three all week. I was like, if we're going to miss a hole, we'll miss it early in the round on a hole that's hard to get to that no one ever birdies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's literally, I had people on four. I had people on six. We literally had Phil Mickelson shots on every hole but hole five.
Yeah.
Then he holes out and I'm sitting there and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Mm. Yeah. Well, back to your history as a weatherman. And you just missed it.
And we got fired. We no longer work. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, we produced, we had a crew in Kansas City that was producing a lot of that content. We would feed them footage and then they would edit it. I think we put together between 20 and 25 videos a day during the championship. So it was pretty good.
So that's one of those things, like we talked about at the very beginning of this, the elevator pitch. It's like turning around a video that was shot hours ago and being able to be ready to be broadcast to literally a million people.
Yeah. And it was kind of trying to put a unique twist on it too. It wasn't just straight highlights. We were mixing in some of our, you know, beauty shots of whether it was alligators crawling into the ponds at the ocean course or, you know, a really nice sunrise or sunset or a unique way of showing the flag before you show Phil Mickelson on that hole rather than just straight broadcast. We were trying to mix in both of those, our cameras plus the broadcast highlights.
How did you come up with the name Let It Fly Media?
Great story. So Andrew and I were Skyping back in the day when people used Skype. We were discussing how I was going to be the secret photographer for his engagement in Chicago.
Nice.
And we started talking about how we both were kind of ready to get out of TV. And so like the whole birth of Let It Fly Media happened over like a 3-hour Skype call.
Also, I love that like ideas. 4 years into TV, you were like, I'm done.
8 years.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how those...
Andrew like, only did for four.
Brian so Busby, like how they last that long.
I don't know.
It's a miracle.
It's tough. So we have this whole conversation about what we want to do. We know we want to be in the golf industry. We know we want to mix in drone with storytelling on the ground. We really want to focus on storytelling. And we came up with some really bad names. I think one, we're like, I don't want it to be golf-centric, but what do you think about Pin Shot Productions? Stuff like that. So we leave the conversation and we're like,
it sounds like
we don't have a good name.
Filming something else.
That, yes.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah, it's not a
good. So then I get a text from Andrew, and I'll give him all the credit in the world. He goes, Let It Fly Media. And I was like, where'd you come up with that? He was like literally getting into bed and he was taking off his socks. And his now wife, Lindsay, had given him a golf sock that just has written across it, Let It Fly.
Oh, geez.
And like now we, I think he still has the socks. He might have them framed or something like that. But that's literally
going
how
on
the
wall
happened.
When he decorates.
Yeah. And now it's amazing. I hear it all the time. Like there's broadcasters in like soccer that every time someone like lets one go, they just like, Let It Fly. And it's like, wow, I hear it all the time. Now we should trademark
it's
it.
Like when
oh,
you're
wait, we did.
It's like when you're looking for a new car. And then all you see is that. It's like, I never even noticed this car, and now I see it all the time.
100%.
And then the logo. Who helped you guys design that?
So a family friend that is kind of does, you know, graphic design and brand messaging on the side. We sent her a bottle of wine and a $50 Starbucks gift card, and she came up with some ideas, and that's what we settled on. It's the it kind of looks like wings, but it's also supposed to look like an open book, like open pages of a book.
Oh, yeah.
Like Let Your Story Fly.
Okay. I see that now.
Yeah.
Why do I think there was like Top Gun involved in the Let It Fly?
So,
or you guys just like Top Gun?
So it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
So we kind of went through like a brand archetype exercise to try to like learn more about ourselves. This is like one of those COVID things that happened like two months into COVID. We're just sitting there like, what are we doing? There's like no business to do right now, but like, let's take this time to learn more about ourselves. So there's like 12 different brand archetypes in this seminar thing that we did.
Okay.
And Maverick was one of them. And it was the one that we ended up settling on as far as what our traits were. And so that's kind of how that happened. Now our conference rooms are all named after call signs from Top Gun.
Dope.
And yeah, it's a thing, but it's not like we have fighter jets drawn in the office or anything like that.
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie yet. Yeah. I'm still working on that.
Well, we're going to have like a watch party.
So don't
on
walk
the projector
out.
In the simulator room at some point in the next few months.
All right. Invite me.
Okay.
Yes.
Done. You mentioned your co-founder, Andrew Carter. When did you realize he was the guy in the We Are Mizzou video that went viral at Mizzou when Mizzou joined the SEC?
I knew pretty early on when we were still in Tulsa, but it's pretty amazing when someone realizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most amazing things was when we were sitting in the room at Missouri talking to them about filming their intro football video.
New news. You guys are always busting out new news. The partnership with Missouri looks pretty
sweet. Yeah, we've done some stuff with them. We won't get into too much detail on that, but yeah, it's
how much did they pay you before taxes?
It's been good. But like someone mentioned like the vibe we're going for, like we were talking about like catchphrases that could be in the video, and someone on the team mentioned like We Are Mizzou, and
What if we talked about not knocking on the door, but busting in?
It was pretty incredible. Like, someone's face was like, is that the guy? And it's been pretty great a few times.
So for the non-Mizzou fans who don't know, there is a viral video that went viral of Andrew doing a rap called We Are Mizzou.
It slaps.
He is very self-aware of the video. Like, there's, I don't feel bad that he's not here to be in the room to defend himself, because he's very aware of
he's my partner. I'll defend him. They were not trying to be a rap group. It was totally a fun thing, which is why they did the country follow-up to it, like literally making fun of it. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like there was a whole KU contingent that like really thought these guys thought they were going to make it big. The mm-hmm. fact of the matter is they had it up on YouTube for 12 hours and made enough money to pay for their spring break. And
that's what matters. Them. Priorities. Exactly. Yeah, and as a K-State fan, I can't talk, because the content that's been produced by fans for fan songs and stuff, even by the athletic department, it's not great.
I mean, those purple towels, man.
The power towel video.
Power towel. Great. Oh my Good gosh. Stuff.
Have you ever seen that?
I don't know.
Is that Prince was the coach?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's and like Willie just with the head and human body. It just... It doesn't work.
At the University of Oklahoma, we made fun of that video a lot.
Yeah. A lot. Spencer Radler, Caleb Williams, hey, Caleb, where are you at?
Caleb Williams era has begun. You're on the bandwagon. I'm all in.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was pretty easy to jump on the bandwagon after 100%. Beating Texas the way
I don't have a problem with Spencer. I just think he's careless with the ball. He's got a lot of arm talent, and I think, you know, he'll probably transfer and tear it up somewhere, but mm-hmm. Caleb's going to be the number one pick someday somewhere.
Yeah, he was the perfect villain, so I liked him being there because he was very easy to root against. Yeah. So I was bummed.
Did you watch the Netflix series where he was like the...
Yeah.
He was...
Not likable on that either.
No.
What? The QB1 Netflix series. Okay. They followed him and like Jake Fromm. Mm-hmm. Or that maybe was a different
It was a different season.
But yeah.
I think it's the Kentucky quarterback or one of the Kentucky quarterbacks was his season. But yeah.
So from the beginning, it wasn't super likable.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah.
I hate to see it. So going forward, like, what do you guys see your company being in 5 years, in 10 years? Like, you guys are you have a lot of like personalities on Twitter, like, you know, Tom Martin and others with a lot of followers, and you know, you guys are always tweeting the rocket ship emoji. I feel like you guys have big expectations and dreams for you guys. Like, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
You know, we've always said that, kind of trying to figure things out in the first few years, let's spread the branches out in the trust tree.
Yeah, it's really only been like really 2 years that you've been.
Yeah, we've hired our first employee 2 years and 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it really has all happened very fast. I think that's where a little bit of the, every time like some really good news comes in that's like, hey, this is going to be a great contract for us. That's kind of how the rocket ship thing happened.
Yeah.
You know, spreading the branches out to as many different opportunities as possible. And then I think over time, it's honing in and really choosing which clients we want to work with, which industries we want to work in, and expanding in those and having fewer clients that we dive deeper with rather than having a lot of clients that we're just reaching the surface with. So I don't know if that means everything's going to be based in Kansas City or if eventually we're going to have Let It Fly branches, possibly that are in smaller branches that are in different cities, where this will always be home base. I think we're always going to be in Kansas City, and we love growing and bringing people. We've brought people from San Francisco, New York, Pennsylvania, all to come work in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And so it's really exciting to bring that talent here and kind of, you know, really get that creative train going. There's a lot of good creative agencies here. We definitely think we're a little bit newer age and trying to expand that. And we'd love to do more local work. You know, we really have a lot of national clients. There's a few like tech clients, like a Backlot Cars that we work with here.
Cool story.
Yeah. That do work all across the country, and that gets us to travel. But there's very few clients that we have that are, you know, really just Kansas City based. And it was kind of interesting how that happened, but I'd love to do more work where we don't have to send people traveling. Yeah. So we're always looking for new opportunities and new really long-term partners that really want to invest in good content, whether that is something like recruiting or whether it's trying to get eyeballs on whatever it is you're trying to sell, or if it's business to business and helping you with a really large proposal. Like, we've done really good custom content when someone's going after a big pursuit. There's lots of different things that we really feel like if we can get our hands on it, we can always make something a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And then you're starting to work with, like, or you've created the Kansas City Sports Network brand too, where you're covering Chiefs, Royals, or not really Royals yet.
Not yet.
Chiefs, they got to start winning.
We're
Chiefs,
doing colleges,
Mizzou,
yeah.
K-State, KU. And what are you doing for those? Podcasts, YouTube shows?
Yeah, so recording the podcasts both remotely and in studio, and just kind of trying to get something local out there in the pod. You kind of see a little bit of it, like The Ringer starting to do. They've got like a New York podcast and a Chicago mm-hmm. podcast, and we really just wanted to invest in, you know, on-demand content for your favorite sports from this region, and really kind of just saw that it wasn't really being taken advantage of in this market, and we wanted to do it in a good way that wasn't just podcast content. The full episodes can go up on YouTube. We can find new and engaging ways to do it, and also being able to break up that content and putting it out on the other social platforms. And so far, so good. We've got some great partners in that, and looking forward to see what that can happen in the next few years.
Mm. We'll see.
We will see.
That's a little tease.
We'll see.
We'll
like
see.
Other partnerships, maybe?
Question mark?
Maybe, you know, bigger than the Bracketologist. I don't know if you might recognize Ben's silky voice from the Bracketologist episode.
We need a season two of the Bracketologist. Season one ended, I think, like the last episode was maybe in like March.
Uh-huh.
So now we're getting to that winter season, a little bit quieter around the office. We might be able to get you guys back on.
We talked about doing a... like, I think we should do a baby toys thing.
Oh.
A baby toys bracketologist or a baby
accessories.
Baby accessories bracketologist. Because since we've done a couple.
You don't need the wipe warmer, guys. You don't. It's not needed.
I think it's illegal. I think most doctors have said, like, don't do it. But, yeah, I think we should do something like that, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And then maybe we'll see. Maybe more. State your line. I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Time will tell.
Good tease. Very good. Very good. All right.
How'd I do? Like, you're the, you know.
The pitch guy.
You're a former, yeah.
Coming up next, we'll let you know about that new partnership next week.
Next week. All right, Ben, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Thank you.
All right, thanks to Ben for joining us. Thanks again for listening this week. Apologies for the technical difficulties. The equipment was too fancy for me, okay? I'm a simple man, and it got too fancy, and I deleted it. Maybe. Let's hope they bring it back. If they do, again, I'll upload it and let you guys know. But if not, and that's all we have this week, then be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine. And we'll see you around Kansas City.